who are you? If that was what it was, then that man was vulnerable now, shocked for just a few seconds. Who am I? He had enough strength to kick up hard with one leg, forcing his arms up at the same time and grabbing some material, his shin connecting with a groin. The man started to go over Hawser's shoulders, heading for the dock. Then Hawser felt his own shoulders grasped, and as the man he held thumped to the ground to one side and behind him, he was pulled over. Over the side of the dock, the man had landed right on the edge and had gone over, taking Hawser with him. They were falling. He was aware of lights, then shadow. The grip he had on the man's cloak or suit, and one hand still on his shoulder. Falling. How deep was the dock? The noise of wind. Listen for the sound of, it was a double impact. He hit water, then something harder, in a crumpling collision of fluid and body. It was cold, and his neck ached. He was thrashing about, unsure which way was up, and groggy from the blows to his head, then something pulled at him. He punched out, hit something soft, then pulled upright and found himself standing in a little over a metre of water, staggering forward. It was bedlam. Light and sound and spray everywhere, and somebody hanging onto him. Hawser flailed out again. Spray cleared momentarily, and he saw the wall of the dock a couple of metres to his right, and directly in front of him, the rear of the giant hovercraft, receding slowly, 5 or 6 metres ahead. A powerful gust of oily, fiery air knocked him over, splashing into the water again. The spray closed over him. The hand let go, and he fell back through the water once more, going under. Hawser struggled upright in time to see his adversary heading off through the spray, following the slowly moving hovercraft up the dock. He tried to run, but the water was too deep. He had to force his legs forward in a slow-motion, nightmarish version of a run, angling his torso so that his weight carried him forward. With exaggerated twistings of his body from side to side, he strode after the man in the grey cloak, using his hands like paddles in an attempt to gain speed. His head was reeling. His back, face and neck all hurt terribly, and his vision was blurred, but at least he was still chasing. The man in front seemed more anxious to get away than to stay and fight. The blattering exhaust of the still-moving hover blew another hole in the spray toward the two men, revealing the slab of stern rising above the bulbous wall of the machine's skirt, bowing out from fully 3 metres above the surface of the water in the dock. First the man in front of him, and then Hawser was blown back by the pulse of hot, choking fumes. The water was getting shallower. Hawser found that he could bring his legs out of the water far enough to wade faster. The noise and spray swept over them again, and for a moment Hawser lost sight of his quarry. Then the view ahead was clear, and he could see the big air cushion vehicle on a dry area of concrete. The walls of the dock extended high on either side, but the water and the clouds of spray were almost gone. The man in front staggered to the brief ramp, leading from the now only ankle-deep water onto the concrete, staggered and almost fell, then started running weakly after the hovercraft, now powering faster along the level concrete down the canyon of the dock. Hawser finally splashed out of the water and ran after the man, following the wetly flapping grey cloak. The man stumbled, fell and rolled. As he started to rise, Hawser slammed into him, bowling them both over. He lashed out at the man's face, shadowed in the light coming from behind him, but missed. The man kicked out at Hawser, then tried to get away again. Hawser threw himself at the man's legs, bringing him down once more, the wet cloak flopping over his head. Hawser scrambled over on all fours and rolled him over face up. It was Craiglin. He drew his hand back for a punch. The pale, shaved face underneath him was twisted in terror. Put in shadow by some lights coming from behind Hawser, where another great roaring was, Craiglin screamed, looking not at the man wearing his own real face, but behind him, above him. Hawser whirled round. A black mass blowing spray rushed toward him. Lights blazed high above. A siren sounded, then the crushing black bulk was over him, hitting him, knocking him flat, pounding at his eardrums with noise and pressure, pressing, pressing, pressing. Hawser heard a gurgling sound. He was being rammed into Craiglin's chest. They were both being rubbed into the concrete as though by an immense thumb. Another hovercraft, the second one in the line he'd seen. Abruptly, with a single sweeping stroke of pain, bruising him from feet to head, as if a giant was trying to sweep him up off the floor with a huge hard brush, the weight was lifted off. In its place was utter darkness. Noise fit to burst skulls and violent, turbulent, crushing air pressure. They were under the skirts of the big vehicle. It was right above them, moving slowly forward, or maybe, it was too dark to see anything, stationary over the concrete apron, perhaps about to settle on the concrete, crushing them. As though it was just another part of the maelstrom of battering pain, a blow thudded into Hawes's ear, knocking him sideways in the darkness. He rolled on the rough concrete, pivoting on one elbow as soon as he could and bracing one leg while he struck out with the other in the direction the punch had come from. He felt his foot hit something yielding.